Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Taco to go, taco to, and a big cube. Taco to go, taco to go. Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to, this deal legit. Taco to go. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99
to go. Hey, be patient. Something about margins. Evan Mobley, get stronger. I just sound like a really bad politician right now. I'm just saying words that sound like political stances, but that's kind of what Kobe sounded like earlier today. To talk about Kobe's comments, the situation the Cavs find themselves in, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Our next guest used to work right here at 92.3 The Fan. I used to abuse him a little too much. Now, he does a great job covering the Cavs for Sports Illustrated. You can catch out, you can check out his podcast, Courtside, with Cavs with Spencer German. So a couple Spencers doing good things. He also writes and covers the NBA draft and the NBA for Babcock Hoops. The man has too many jobs, quite frankly. The great Spencer Davies joins us now. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Nick? Thanks for the intro, man. Really appreciate that. I know it's a mouthful.
Spencer, I want to change it to two Spencers, one podcast.
We cannot go there. We can't go there, JP. I don't think so. But it is a good idea, I think, in terms of just throwing it out there.
I think if you videotape it, I think that's when people get really, really hinky about it. What stood out to you, Spencer, about Kobe's presser?
I think it was a little bit rosy for me, and it sounded honestly a little bit repetitive from last year. And you know me, I'm really a glass half full guy. Obviously, Kobe is too, but the results speak for themselves. It's the same result the last 2 years, out in five games in the conference semifinals. I think you got to have a little bit more accountability. To be honest, I also agree with some of his points about Evan Mobley and Darius Garland and obviously Donovan Mitchell. I think that stuff is internal improvement and development, but I just also think you can't just look at the same stuff that you've been looking at for the last few years. You have to own it, and I think you have to also have the awareness that this is not where you were last year or 2 years ago. You are in a completely different area. And I think his words saying that this is new to us, that we're, top of the East, this is an expectation that really came along with this season, and maybe it changed a little bit, but now they're in this new tier. And you've got to field those questions. You have to be able to take the good with the bad. And I think that it's something that he'll get better at, but I still think it was just a little too optimistic for me today.
Yeah, Spencer, it just reminded me of the same entire press conference that he would have done had he lost into the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics. Like, and that it didn't feel like the right tone for what the, not only us, the media, but also the fans probably wanted or really were expecting.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And I think that he has, like I said, he has valid points when it comes to the ascension of Evan Mobley, and Evan Mobley being their top player is what's going to take them to that next level. And I agree with that point. I think the stuff he said about Darius Garland getting stronger and, pulling up these comparisons body type wise to someone like a Steph Curry is valid. I think those are very valid points. I think him talking about Donovan Mitchell taking a step to the side so they could foster the growth of Evan Mobley and Darius Garland, and the whole reason that he signed back was because of those two, is very valid. But there's other stuff to me, and just like, you can't look at that and say that that wasn't a failure. And he didn't say that it was a success or a failure or anything like that, like the guys did, or like Kenny Atkinson did. But you have to view this in a lens of, it's a bottom line business, and it's unfortunate that you had some bad luck, which they did. And you look at the conference finalists now, and those four teams don't have any rotational injuries. But again, it's a two things can be true at the same time issue. You have to be able to take some accountability, take one on the chin, and understand, like, no, you're going to be held in a much higher regard if you're going to be in this tier, in this echelon, and you're going to talk like you're in this echelon.
Spencer, it seems like from Kobe's comments there that they're going to stand pat, at least as it pertains to the core four. Can they, we're 3 years into having these, you know, four best players play together. Is it too early to say they can't win a championship together?
I don't think it's too early. I think that moving on from one of them makes sense. And I think that the obvious answer is Jarrett Allen. And that's just typically because Evan Mobley was drafted to be the top big guy for this team. He was going to be drafted to be the top five man, the best player on the team. That was their vision in 2021. And I think that he is getting to that level. Is he at that level yet? No. But I think that this season as a whole, and I even think in the playoffs, he did a really good job of taking that next step. Did he take two steps? No. He take one step? Absolutely. He's stretching the floor now. He's spacing it out, and he's doing a lot more playmaking than we're used to seeing. He's doing a lot more ball handling than we're used to seeing. But his usage still is climbing. And Evan has to get used to that usage a little bit more and more and more as the guards have to start feeding him and have to start trusting him more, which was the entire problem with, I think, Indiana, was that the guards just got a little too heavy on their own usage instead of feeding Evan, who was by any means like very, very, very productive in that game five, especially in the first half, and they started going away from him. So I think Jared Allen and Evan Mobley absolutely works together. I have no doubts about that, but I think Evan has outgrown that pairing and is going to outgrow that pairing, I should say, better to take the mantle of the five man. Maybe the Cavs play more five out. Maybe they have a little bit more versatility defensively, and they're not so much a straight-up colossus on defense, right? So I think that's something you can look at, and that's not disparaging Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen is absolutely an all-star caliber player. He's a 2012 guy if he goes anywhere else. I guarantee that. But here, his usage is so low that he's been kind of relegated to that cleanup guy, the guy who sets screens, the guy who protects the rim and doesn't do the sexy stuff. And I think that he might have outgrown that part, too.
What's the return look like for you for Jared Allen?
You have to get a core player back. There's no chance in hell you trade Jared Allen and you don't get a starter back. I think that would be asinine. I think that would be selling way too low on Jared Allen. He's one of the best rim protectors in the league. He's one of the best rebounders in the league. He's good at setting screens. He can play make out of the role. And he does so many different things. I just think that his skill set is starting to overlap with Evan's a little bit. Evan can stretch it out to the four, obviously. Yes, he can space the floor and shoot now and attack off of closeouts. But let's not forget, Evan can also play make out of the role. He can also have this array of dribble moves and footwork inside, face-up game, short hooks, all the stuff that Jarrett is really good at and has still improved at. I just think that having two of those guys do that at the same time may not be conducive to winning in the playoffs. And I don't know, like, there's obviously a huge piece of this where Jarrett is on the glass all the time, and that's a huge question mark for the Cavs about how are you going to get these rebounds, how are you going to win this possession battle. But I think that also comes with who comes back into the move with Jarrett if that was to happen.
So with this, because I felt this way a little bit in the Pacers game, Evan and Jarrett were both having their way late in that series, and then as soon as that would start to happen, you'd get rhythm, the guards would start jacking up three-point shots. And that actually might have been part of the plan. But as I saw that, I was like, all right, why not just continue to feed Evan Mobley? Is there any concern? Because I felt this way in the Indiana series, that maybe having two guards who like to have the ball in their hand might also be part of what's slowing Evan Mobley's growth.
I think it's a little bit of that, but I also feel like Donovan and Darius felt like they had to play through the pain and also put the team on their back. And they, I don't know how you get that out of the players like that, because they are very, very much so motivated by trying to do it all. Whereas I think they just have to grow more trustworthy of Evan. And to that point, I think that Evan also has to demand it a little bit more. He's not used to having the ball in his hand as much as he's had it. And that usage increase is also going to come with adjustment. And we saw it all season long that he did, like I said, take that next step, but he didn't take two. He didn't do it in the playoffs necessarily, where he was dominating, you know, against, you know, Miami, for example. Like, I thought he was excellent. I think he's been really good, other than just a couple games of that Indiana series. Like, game three, Indiana, I mean, Evan and Jarrett just absolutely dominated in the paint. They were pushing bodies around, getting rebounds, all that stuff. I just think with Evan, it's more of a, I need to be more vocal to ask for the ball more than the guards, because the guards, if you don't ask for the ball, the guards are going to take their shots. They are going to, I don't want to say chuck threes, but they were doing a lot of pull-ups instead of doing the catch shoots. And then, of course, Cleveland just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn against Indiana, because they were so sped up by Indiana's pace that they were just gassed, and they had no legs on their jump shots. Everything was coming up front iron, and they had to really relegate themselves to going to a different style of play, which ended up just being attack the rim, attack the rim, attack the rim, and obviously didn't work.
Bill Simmons kicked the hornet's nest with his Evan Mobley for Giannis trade idea. And, you know, I think before we even went down that road, everyone's like, oh, second apron, we can't even do it anyway. But if we were able to make something like that work, or some trade involving a big name for Mobley, is he at this point, is he untouchable this offseason? Or are there players like Giannis where you'd say, okay, let's do it?
Not pertaining to that deal in particular, but Kobe Altman said today that if they're not banking on Evan's growth, then they'd be nuts. And continuously goes back to him being 23 years old only. And that's a part of Kobe's statement I do agree with. I think that Evan is going to be a stud. He's going to be an all-NBA player all throughout his career. I think that he has so much untapped potential. And I know that's a word that a lot of people around here hate, but if you just watch some of these games and the spurts and the little flashes he shows of being able to spin on the run in the fast break, or to drop off a pass, you know, when he's finding a cutter, or if he's pulling up for threes, catch shoot threes. Like, this man has a ton in the tank. And I think that Evan is, they use the word unicorn. I guess I'll use the word unicorn too. He's just not someone you come around very often. And when you look, you have to look really hard at what you're getting back for Evan, because Evan has had...
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Taco to go. Taco to. And a big cue. Taco to go. Taco to go. Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal's so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose. Taco to go, taco to. This deal legit. Taco to go, taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go, $2.99.
Had his easily best season of his career. And I don't think that that's someone you want to part with, especially. You know what you're getting on the defensive end. He's the defensive player of the year, for goodness sake. And then offensively, you see the growth and the development, what he's able to do. Now it's time for him to take that next step. If he does this again next year, and then maybe the year after that, and you have that conversation, that's one thing. But this is the first year that he really took his new skill set under a new head coach and had to implement it in the playoff situation. And I don't think he did all that bad, to be quite honest with you. I just think that it might have been new to him. He needs to have more than 13 field goal attempts a game.
Spencer, real quick here. We're set for another non-repeating champion here. I believe that makes it 7 straight years. Who do you think has the most interesting story as a potential NBA champion in the Final Four?
Ooh, interesting story. I kind of like Minnesota, to be honest. I just think that Anthony Edwards is one of them old school type players that a lot of people enjoy watching. He is a very in your face attitude, but also it's one of those things that kind of drives him. And then also on those teams, I feel like, you know, Julius Randle, someone who just kind of was cast by the wayside, turned into a journeyman, so to speak, but he's always had a ton of talent, and that's somebody who's been playing his butt off in the postseason. Rudy Gobert, also somebody who's been cast aside and was said that never could get to a certain level or whatever like that, and he just had a heck of a series in this last round against Golden State. So I would see them as a really fun story. I think them against New York would be really cool just because of the Tibbs dynamic, of course. But, hey, you know, Indiana, they are on fire right now, and they have guys who are all shooting very well. Their non-core players are shooting well. And that goes a long way in the postseason. So should be fun. And obviously, you know, not to leave out OKC, what Shea's able to do, but also just their defensive intensity is something like I don't think I've ever seen before. So they are a blast to watch, too. So I'm looking forward to the conference finals for sure.
Spencer, great stuff, buddy. Proud of you for all you do. Keep killing it, buddy. And we'll catch up down the line.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, JB.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose. Taco, 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 Taco. This deal legit. Taco, Taco, Taco. Only at Quick Trip. Taco to go, Taco to go, Taco to go. $2.99. Taco to go.